This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
This is the Casey Smith Show.
So let's hear it one more time. Together, clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go.
Here's your host, Casey Smith.
Welcome into this very weird Wednesday. This is the Casey Smith Show live on Twitter, Periscope, Facebook. Oh, it's not live yet. It will be live on Twitter and Periscope, and of course SB Nation Radio nationally and gridironnow.com. It is a get weird Wednesday, so
like,
we're having a little bit of technical difficulties.
In true
fashion. I'm telling you, this iPad hates me.
I don't know how to work any of it, so
it's fine.
This
is the Casey and Annie disaster train show on a Wednesday,
2K17.
But it's gonna be fun. It's college football is officially over, which is very sad. I hate that college football is officially over.
Start the countdown to next year.
What a game on Monday. Mm-hmm. And we obviously weren't on air yesterday, so we're going to talk about that game. But if you are joining us on Twitter and Periscope just now, we've got it working.
Finally.
We had to kind of ramble a little bit till that got going. But welcome in, guys. This is a Wednesday.
And Wednesdays, a wild, weird Wednesday.
Wednesdays are always weird. And since we started the show, we've always made Wednesdays weird because it's a middle of the week show with it, obviously covering college football and the NFL. The big storylines are either Monday or Friday. Mm-hmm. But this Wednesday is extra weird because of everything we've experienced over the last couple of days. We did watch the Alabama-Clemson game, which, like we mentioned, incredible game. We watched it in Houston at the official Alabama watch party bar. They do every single game there. Mm-hmm. So we saw some awesome things happen, some not so awesome things. We're going to talk all about that because at the end of the day, the game itself was incredible. But where you are watching it is key in this whole thing, whether you're a Clemson fan, Alabama fan, or you're just neutral, mm-hmm. because of how close it was all the way down to the wire, obviously with 1 second left, mm-hmm. and to see how crazy everybody reacted. And we've got some really good stories.
Yeah, no, very, very rarely does the sequel live up to the expectation, and this one did. And it was so fun for us to be in Houston at the Alabama watch party, which I must say, Casey and I are for sure a jinx whenever we go to watch parties in Houston, because last time we were at one, we were at Ohio State. Watching them play Penn State, and we all know how that ended up. So I don't think we have a very good track record.
And it was just completely deflated then, too. That's what I love, though, about big cities. Like, they have these watch bars, because it is really cool. Like, if you're in a big city and, like, you know, Ohio State, a lot of our friends that live in Houston that mm-hmm. are from Ohio, they get to all go around and be around each other. Obviously, Alabama's closer.
Right.
But they have all of these official watch parties.
You get that environment that you're missing.
Yeah, and so A&M has one, obviously, mm-hmm. in Houston.
There's one in Denver. I know right where it is in Denver.
I love that. But you're right. When you and I are together at official watch parties, the team that we're there to watch with our friends, they always lose.
And the drinking just goes downhill.
Because
of our betting shenanigans.
So I'm not a big better when it comes to like sports gambling. Like, I love blackjack. Like, I love to play blackjack. Mm-hmm. But like when it comes to sports gambling, I've never really gotten into it. I should have with my Lamar Jackson pick, obviously.
You would have made a lot of money.
I should have did that last year, like we've talked about. But I love to bet with alcohol, which I don't know what that says about me as a human being, but we did. So we talked about it on the show on Monday when we broke down the game, the national championship. We obviously were going to make bets. Mm-hmm. Alex Parker, who was on the show, made a bet with me that I still not paid off yet.
But
we have to take four shots, since that's how many points Clemson beat Alabama by.
Snapchat and make sure we document that.
But we decided to take a shot of Jameson every time there was a touchdown scored.
Yeah, Casey's favorite drink on the planet are Jameson shots. And we did the deed every time that
it escalated quickly at the end.
Anytime
game.
There was a touchdown, we were taking shots.
Well, and it was an incredible game no matter what. And you look at the end of that game, and it was all about what is Clemson going to have to do to pull this out. And we talked about it, and ad nauseum, everybody did, previewing this game. It was, how good is this Alabama team? Mm-hmm. How good is this defense? And everybody's talking about, could it be the best defense ever? It was one of the best ever. But to see down the stretch what Deshaun Watson and this offense was able to do, it completely elevated him even further in my mind that he is the best player in college football mm-hmm. this season. No disrespect to Lamar Jackson, obviously, his numbers, but you look at what Lamar Jackson did at the end of the season, and now you look at another year where Deshaun Watson not only has an incredible game, But he's the reason that Clemson stayed in it in last year's. They lost, but he was the reason. I mean, with almost 500 yards. And he's the reason they won this game. And what they were able to do was really transcend that. Okay, yeah, Alabama has this stout defense. And it took a last-minute drive to really capitalize and win. But it was because of how good Deshaun Watson really was.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Deshaun Watson was incredible in this game. And I've said a lot that to be Heisman-worthy, I feel like you need to carry your team to championships. And he did that. I mean, without him, they would not have won that game.
Big stages.
Yep, on big stage. And that is why I have such an issue with the Heisman not being given out after the national championship game, because you don't have a full resume and you don't have these opportunities to have Heisman moments when they do the voting. So if I'm looking at this season, I mean, you look back and you say, how could he not be the main Heisman contender after this game?
When you look at what he did in November, and we talked all about that too. I mean, he had almost 1,300 yards in November, and you look at how good Clemson got at the end of the season.
And how Lamar Jackson ended his season.
Exactly. And not every single time is the best player in college football going to be playing in the national championship. Obviously, you know, if you've got a player that's done well all year, the team is there, and then they win because they have a spectacular game, that doesn't make them the best player in college football.
Right.
Deshaun Watson is the best player in college football this season, and we've seen that now 2 years in a row where he's finished his second in the Heisman finalist, and then he has not a great start to this season, but rolled through and got so much better and so much better, and then obviously all the weapons around him helped. The Clemson defense got a lot better as well, but he is the best player on the biggest stage with the win. And the fact that he doesn't have a Heisman Trophy is really crazy when you look at what he was able to do at the end of the season.
And I think that plays such a huge role that went into this game, is the mission that he was on to prove himself and make a statement and kind of make those voters scratch their heads a little bit. And I looked back in 2012, he tweeted, "If I get the chance to play in a national championship game, I'm going to go ham." And then 2013, he said, "Me in a national championship game, I'm just waiting on that moment." So he finally got that moment. So really cool for him. And, you know, when he was sitting there with tears in his eyes and didn't really know what to say, just those are the moments you look for. And I love to watch, because players like him are rare, and the players that are able to bring their team to those championship games and perform the way he did on the biggest stage. That's what you like to watch and look for in football.
Well, and even though he lost last year, when Clemson lost to Alabama in the first edition of that national championship, he still went ham. Like, you know, and I say that, like, that's what he wanted to do. I'm going to go ham. And, like, that's what he did. And now you look at his overall resume as a college football player, as a quarterback. You look at what Dabo Swinney has now been able to do for himself. Mm-hmm. And you look at how good this team ended up being. To beat Urban Meyer and to beat Nick Saban back-to-back like that in a college football playoff, when you've got two of the best coaches of all time, Nick Saban arguably still is up there. I mean, I know he hasn't caught Bear yet, but he's probably going to. We don't know how long, you know, he's going to continue to coach.
This empire that he has.
But the fact that this Clemson team and, like, the whole Clemsoning thing has gone on for so long, and now you see that they've kind of overcome that. But not only did they overcome it, they did it in great fashion. Oh. And it wasn't like Alabama lost the game for themselves. Clemson just played that much better than them down the stretch.
Yeah, and Dabo Swinney came out and said that Deshaun Watson didn't lose on the Heisman lost out on him. I really like that quote.
He's very verbal.
He is very verbal, and I love Dabo a lot. But Deshaun Watson, I mean, for him, we said going into this game, he's going to have to he's going to minimize his mistakes. He can't throw picks. And he did that mentally. I was really impressed with him, because to go up against that defense, it's tough to stay mentally there and in the game. And then it's tough physically to take those hits again and again and again when that front seven are just getting after him so fast. So I was really impressed with him and the heart and the mentality that he showed in this game.
You look at all the stats of this game, and obviously that's everybody's breaking down, you know, just how crazy good this offense was, how just kind of average Alabama's offense looked. And they looked like that against Washington. And everybody talked, okay, well, was it because Lane Kiffin was being so conservative? But I think what happened was is that Jalen Hurts just really got exposed as not a great passer. Mm-hmm. He definitely can do both.
It was clear
but
in this game.
He is a clear, better runner as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And he's young, right? That can be developed, but that was exposed. But the two stats to me that you really look at is you look at Alabama's defense, and, you know, we all talked about the non-offensive touchdowns, right? Mm-hmm. And all year that was their thing. When Clemson did turn the ball over, Alabama did not score off of those turnovers like they had in games past. Mm-hmm. That was a big key to me, because that was the whole thing. If they can create turnovers and score off of those turnovers, that's what Alabama does best.
Right.
that stat and then how good Clemson was in the red zone. I believe it was 100% in the red zone. And that's all you needed to know when you looked at that and you said, okay, these were the two tails. Mm-hmm. Was how good is Alabama's defense going to be and how is Clemson going to make sure that they don't allow this defense to capitalize? Mm-hmm. And going down the stretch of that game, those last few seconds, I still didn't think it was going to happen because that's how good I thought this defense was. But you kind of started to get nervous with 2 minutes left. You're like, this is Deshaun Watson's moment. Mm-hmm. And they had so much time left and obviously carried the ball down the field, scored an incredible touchdown, mm-hmm. and didn't leave Alabama any time to be able to come back.
Yeah, no, that last drive was so fun to watch. But at no moment, we were obviously at the Alabama watch party. We've been going with the tide all year, saying they were going to go 15-0. But watching that final drive, I really didn't think that they were going to be able to pull that off. But obviously that catch, the 24-yard catch by Williams, was so incredible. The receiving core for Clemson mm-hmm. was just incredible this game. It was so fun to watch him, Watson and Williams. That duo was just a really fun duo to watch. They connect really well. And I think Deshaun Watson was on a mission, and he wasn't going to let anyone stop them, not even that tide.
You're absolutely right about needing to vote on the Heisman afterwards.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Deshaun Watson did what he needed to do. But then the question then became, how good really was this Alabama team? And I don't think you can take away anything just because they lost a game by 4 points. And again, it was such a good game. But it did take, very end of the game, it did take Clemson having to step up. Mm-hmm. So now you kind of step back and you're like, okay, how good really was this defense for Alabama? You obviously know their front seven was incredible. You see guys like Jonathan Allen and across the board how good they were. Mm-hmm. But if you look at games this year against quarterbacks that can throw the ball, you look at what Arkansas was able to do, and you look at what Ole Miss was able to do, yeah. and now you look at what Clemson and Deshaun Watson were able to do, and other games too. But like that secondary, by no means are they bad because this is Alabama.
But that's the that was their weakness.
And obviously that was exposed because of how good this Clemson receiving core is, how good their offense is. But now you kind of step back and you're like, okay, yeah, obviously a very good defense, but were we almost giving the entire unit too much credit? If they would have won, I don't think anybody would have been talking about this. No. But now you look at what happened. You're like, okay, was this defense overrated? Or was Deshaun Watson just that good?
And that's a tough thing to look at. I mean, it is hard to say that this defense was overrated because they were so dominant all year long. But like you said, their one weak spot was that secondary. I think it really comes down to their offense. And Jalen Hurts obviously struggled. His pass game needs to improve drastically for them to be more successful offensively. We knew they were going to run the ball. That was no question there. But I just think that Hurts just needs a little bit more time to develop that passing game. He is so young. He was in his first national championship game at 18 years old. And I just think that they were a little bit, they were safe a little bit with their offensive scheme. So I think that definitely hurt them in the end. And Clemson obviously capitalized on it.
And Clemson also kept their offense on the field a lot more and really controlled just the tempo of it. I mean, and obviously, look, this was a back and forth game. And early in the game, it was the storylines of both defenses. But Clemson kept their offense on the field a lot. And that was really key, too, is who's going to control the tempo of this game, who's going to control the time. And that's massive because you look at 15 games total over the year. You look at all the stress and all the practices. I don't take anything away from Alabama's team. I just think Clemson just became that much better than they were earlier in the season. Because, I mean, we sat up here all the time. Every time they had a very close win, it was, are they going to lose? And obviously they did lose to Pitt, almost lost to NC State. But the thing about Clemson is they got that much better when it counted. But I just think that these were by far the best two teams in the country. There's no question to me. They got that one right, obviously. We saw that in the semifinal. And now you look back and you're like, okay, this Alabama team is going to rebuild. This Clemson team is really good and all the momentum they have. What could this look like for a preseason poll? It's difficult because then you've got USC in there. So you look at these three teams right now. Obviously, you have to look at what they're losing and what they're not. But these are, in my opinion, those are the three best teams in the country. And it's crazy to say that about USC because they got destroyed by Alabama.
I love that storyline, though.
But these teams moving forward did so many things right, and now we sit in the offseason for the next long, long 8 months.
And pick it apart.
But having a game like that to end the college football season was incredible.
Like I said, I mean, it just lived up to the expectation. I was hoping it would. I wanted it to be a close game. We knew that was going to happen. And, you know, Bama's offense scheme was obviously conservative.
Which we kind of thought might happen because Sark was on the sidelines.
All the off the field things.
But they
were
conservative against Washington, too, even with Lane Kiffin. So I don't necessarily think that made, you know, a huge difference because they were conservative and we were asking, why are they not running the typical Alabama offense mm-hmm. against Washington? Mm-hmm. But
they've got a young quarterback, and then you got to look at how Clemson played against Ohio State, shutting them out. I mean, their defense was obviously looking good, mm-hmm. so you think that might be a factor as well going into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Clemson just really stepped up. But watching it at a bar with Alabama fans, because that was really fun, and we kind of became... We morphed, like, what's the chameleon? We were chameleon. Like, oh, yeah. we'll just go because we don't want to make any bad. We went to A&M.
Oh, yeah, we jumped on that
totally
bandwagon.
We totally did the SEC pride thing, which I still stand by. Uh-huh. But that's what you saw down that stretch of that game, is that you really started to see Alabama fans kind of like, oh, crap, like, this mm-hmm. really isn't the year they're going to go 15-0 and the 17 national championships and everything that was on the line. And you got that sense that you're like, this is how good this Clemson team became mm-hmm. and this is how good Deshaun Watson was. And it was hard to watch because, you know, if it's your team, it's like gut-wrenching, right? Mm-hmm. But as a neutral person, as somebody who just really wanted to see a good game, I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Well, it's hard because we were on this train for so long. I mean, Bam was just so dominant. It was so hard. It was just hard to find reasons to go against them in this game, for me at least. So to be in that bar with all these Bama fans,
crazy
and just watch
Bama
them
fans
get so deflated. I mean, the bar was empty immediately after that game. They were not happy.
I should have left.
I
stayed, but I should have
left with.
I should have left at halftime, probably.
It was completely deflated. But like you said, Clemson, I think for me, I look at just how they peaked at the right time. I mean, I thought they were overrated for a really long time this season, but that's kind of what sports is about. You got to peak at the right time and show up on the big stage, and they did that.
Absolutely. And now you sit back and you say, okay, I thought USC would be number one going into next season if
now it's
Alabama lost.
Right.
But now watching the way Clemson played, and yes, they're going to lose people. I mean, that's obvious, right? But
they had like 19 years.
And you look at just, line. You know, Deshaun Watson is so key in this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they played like they were.
Well, just how well team. Their defense was playing mm-hmm. was really impressive and really switched for them this year. So it'll be interesting to see how the polls end up going into next season.
This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Get Weird Wednesday with...
Very weird.
Very weird. Anyways, like, our production meeting literally involved me laying on a cold floor.
I walked
today.
Into the studio to Casey laying on the floor, and we had acai bowls. We didn't really... We're just throwing this one together today.
Talked about tacos. It was things got really, really weird in the studio, but thanks for hanging out with us, guys, on Twitter, Periscope, Facebook Live, and of course, SB Nation Radio nationally, and gridironnow.com.
We appreciate
it. Always. We're kind of like spread around, and iTunes, too. Mm-hmm. So if you'd rather just listen to us, which is fair, I guess.
Yeah.
It depends on what day it is, right? Go check us out on iTunes, The Casey Smith Show, or if you want to watch us, we have the added cameras. Mm-hmm. We're very thankful for that. So talking about this game, and obviously we can break this down a million ways and look at it, but it's over with. Clemson won. They deserved to win by the end of that game. Deshaun Watson, best player in the country. Mm-hmm. But it was where you watched it, and it was who you were with. Everybody knows Alabama fans are crazy, right? Like a few years ago, there was like sisters that, like, one sister shot the other sister to death, by the way.
Because she didn't react the way that
after the kick
she wanted to.
Yep. In the Iron Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then you see a hostage situation in Tuscaloosa right afterwards. And one of our buddies who was at the game watch party with us and went to Alabama, he was like, Alabama fans cannot handle losing.
He really can't.
There's a hostage situation at my bank in Tuscaloosa. I said, no, there's not. Get on Twitter. And I'm like, oh,
wait,
my
he's
God.
Telling the truth.
Like,
yeah.
It's crazy. That's how, like, this is religion to these people. And so, like, there's so many weird things that happened at that bar in Houston. It was in Dogwood, is where they have the Alabama watch parties. We were there watching it. And there were people stealing beers
out of the freezer.
These people are nuts.
Nuts, yeah. They got caught stealing beers. He got, like, caught red-handed. The bouncers had to throw them out. We were, like, a couple feet away from this whole incident, and it was actually a former walk-on player from Alabama and his group of friends.
And as they're walking out, they're still screaming Roll Tide. Like, this is a serious thing. Like, this
in
is
true
a,
Alabama fashion.
This is a real-life thing. Like, and that was probably, what, around halftime? So, like, the game,
that was,
there was
yeah,
a
it
lot
was really...
of time left. But you know, a lot of my friends that were there that are diehard Alabama fans graduated from Alabama. They're not the 80% or whatever Clay Travis says, right? Like, they actually graduated from Alabama. Uh-huh. Like, they were so upset because of what happened. And you sit back and you're like, okay, whoever your team is, obviously we graduated from Texas A&M, we're Aggie mm-hmm. fans. And if it's A&M or whoever you're cheering for and you lose in that fashion, it's awful. And that was so apparent in just our little tiny section of where we were in one bar in one city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, across the country or wherever people were watching this game.
Devastation.
You see, like, people punching the TVs. Did you see that?
No.
there was a guy that like punched a TV, but it was so staged. Like he didn't get upset when the TV broke. And
they're
I was
just
like,
trying to like get viral on the internet type thing.
And Alabama fans could totally do it. Then you've got Dabo Swinney talking crap about Colin Coward, saying that they were frauds. And he's after the game. He's like, I hope he knows. Like, you know, he owes him an apology. Then you've got Colin Coward coming back and you're looking at how much emotion was in this. And that's why this was so much fun. Because I was worried, rematch, you know, sequels aren't always very good.
That was going to be my biggest fear going into this
game. But the emotions in this game, whether you were a fan, whether you're playing in it, whether you're covering it, were insane. And really one of the best national championships from an atmosphere standpoint that I've watched. Because of the people in the bars, because the Alabama fan base are crazy people.
They're nuts. But
I love it, but it's crazy.
Oh, no, I love it. I mean, there was just so much surrounding this game off the field, on the field, the storylines that surrounded it. There were so many with Deshaun Watson, with Clemson. It was just so much fun to see all the drama kind of unroll and to be in the bar with all the Alabama fans. I would have liked nothing better than the way we watched the game because they are so, so intense and dramatic and kind of crazy.
And then you've got Dabo Swinney, who's known for kind of his...
Who I love.
He's great.
He's one of my favorites.
You know, they were talking about, I think it was Clay Travis or maybe it was Laura Rutledge of ESPN, was talking about how he was on the field talking to media for so long after the game. And that's not normal. You know, usually they shake hands, they do whatever television broadcast, and then they leave and they go to the presser. Like that the athletic director for Clemson actually had to come remove Dabo off the field because he's like, yo.
Good for him though. I'm like, enjoy it.
Enjoy it. You see Deshaun Watson crying. You see all the Alabama fans, you know, with the surrender cobra and all that crazy stuff.
The Clemson player doing the splits. Did you see that
one?
Yes. Big boy too.
Did you see? I don't know who made the shirt. It might have been, is Clemson with Nike? Okay, so I think it was Nike that made the shirt that, you know how the Clemsoning thing, and like I talked about earlier in the show, but they made Clemson Kings, but they made the ING and Kings the same color as Clemson. So it was Clemsoning, but it was Clemson Kings with the national championship trophy.
I love that. We love this. This is why you love sports.
Absolutely. So really good game, obviously. We'll see you moving forward. Now that it's the off season, turn all of our focus to what is next season going to look like? Because that's what you do, right? You just look forward.
I'm starting the countdown on my phone for next year.
How far is it? Do you know yet?
I don't know. I need to start it.
I mean, I know it's like about 8 months.
We've been a little busy last few days. I haven't started it yet.
I wish that I have not been as busy as I have. This is the Casey Smith Show. It is a Get Weird Wednesday. We're going to do a short show today. But we are in a fantasy league right now.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm 10 points ahead of you.
You're beating me.
I'm just gonna throw that
so
in there.
So ABC and ESPN, obviously both owned by Walt Disney, and ESPN fantasy leagues, right? Like that's their whole thing on that app. Like they have like an app specifically for it. Well, now there's the Bachelor fantasy league. So it's now bridged reality television with like sports like betting. We are in multiple groups in these multiple leagues.
Yeah.
We have one with a lot of the SEC media members, Clay Travis, Barrett Salee.
Which Clay's got some catching up to do.
Yeah, Clay's not been
good. He's at the bottom.
But The Bachelor is one of the, like, it's ridiculous, right? Like, this show is
especially
so fake.
Especially this year, just because, obviously.
Why did they put The Bachelor on the same night as the national championship?
I don't know, but we definitely set that recording because there was no way I was going to watch it over the
I mean, I'd be curious to see what the numbers were. But regardless, so everybody that is following The Bachelor now has like a legitimate excuse, like, well, I'm betting on this. Like, it's a sports bet, right? So, like, it's complete trash television. It's, you know, when there's not a lot of sports on television, it's the thing that you go to and you watch.
It's like a guilty pleasure type thing.
But now there's like money on this. And there was money before, like, people, you know, do like drafts and stuff. Like, now there's like actual real betting going on The Bachelor. And it's hilarious to me because the show is so garbage that I can't turn it off.
No, it's like addicting. It's that guilty pleasure that you love to watch just because it's so ridiculous. Especially this year. I swear they got like the craziest of the crazies when it comes to girls to be on the show.
Yeah, there's been some pretty crazy ones in the past.
But this one is pretty.
Well, one in particular, Corinne.
Corinne. Gosh, crazy Corinne is going to be like a hashtag. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like with this and The Bachelor, the only thing with the whole betting thing is it's already happened. All of this has already happened. So there's like easily people can be cheating in this.
And you can't cheat in fantasy leagues because
it hasn't happened yet.
Going on the game, right? Like, who am I going to start at quarterback? Because whatever. And like sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. This stuff's already happened, and you can find all this information
easily. There's so many spoilers out there.
This is how ridiculous this is. It's like ESPN knew. And ABC knew that there would be enough people like us, like have to be the betters, you know, that are going to do. And now we have even more of an excuse to watch this trash television show.
Oh, yeah. And the, I mean, the questions that you have to answer before, like prior to every show, or how many girls are going to wear red tonight and who's going to get the one-on-one date. And it's just a ridiculous, ridiculous season. But I'm very entertained by it. It's really
sad.
We
love Nick. And like, look, there's a lot of people out there that love The Bachelor and they believe in love on television, which is crazy. Like the only real
reason, okay, we were talking the other night, and the amount of time that these girls are actually with,
it's like
the guy
hours
at the
total.
Very end, the one that wins, it's 72 hours maybe.
And that's including an overnight date,
which is 12.
And how about this? How ridiculous is it? You think about people that watch The Bachelor, like you're actually watching somebody date 30 women, 25 women, and then you're sleeping with multiple women at the same time. And then you're like, you don't know who you're going to propose. And you're like, wait a minute, isn't this what everybody hates in real life?
Yes.
Isn't this what everybody
100%.
Hates? Like, I don't want to find out the guy that I'm dating is dating 29 other women.
And watch him right in front of me, like make out with all the girls that he's dating. Like, heck no, I'd be so far
gone. Or the fantasy
out of
suite dates. Like, you know that he's stayed overnight. And like, where do you want to be? Second or third, like,
especially
no.
with a guy like Nick, like you know what they're going to be doing on each and every one
Nick.
Of those overnight stays.
I love him. That's one of the main reasons I'm watching.
I love looking at Nick.
That's fair.
He is a beautiful specimen, but as soon as he opens his mouth, I'm like, get me out of here.
Long story short, if you can talk about sports, football, national championships, and a guy that looks like Nick in The Bachelor in one show, I feel like, but that's what's so funny about this is you see a lot of these sports personalities, male sports personalities, that
it's
get so into The Bachelor.
They do.
Because it's a betting thing. That's what this is. Whether there's a fantasy league or not, it's all like, who are you going to attach yourself to that you believe is going to win? Mm-hmm. And this season is already off to such a crazy start.
I think there's like two girls that maybe are normal out of the whole bunch.
Is anybody truly normal? I mean,
if
not
you're on going on this show to like be dating.
Like you're going to have some sort of screw loose. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like I have friends who have done reality television and they're great people.
Right.
But like to go put yourself in that knowing that the entire country is watching you. But some of these girls actually have like all of the screws loose in their head.
Yeah.
Like, all of
them.
Well,
and especially
not just
knowing that Nick Vail, this is his fourth, like what I don't even.
He's in the Bachelor
season
franchise.
Fourth season of being on a Bachelor. Or being, he's going to be the Bachelor. He was on The Bachelorette twice, and then he was on Bachelor in Paradise. So knowing that this is the guy you're getting, you got to have a screw loose.
There was a girl on Monday night's episode that we watched yesterday, because obviously a national championship game was on, and that's 10 times more important,
yeah.
100 times more 100
important.
100 times, yeah. Because that's what we do for a living, by the way. But we watched it yesterday, and we watched it all the way through the credits, and there was a girl yesterday who celebrated the birthday of her boob job. This is a real thing.
This girl also showed up in a shark costume, but was convinced it was a dolphin and was drunk in the pool on day one.
She celebrated her boob job's birthday. They're 1 year old. Like she had cupcakes and everything.
Two.
Like
two cupcakes
that looked like boobs.
Kinkles. Yep.
Like that's not the most ridiculous thing, but that's people watch it. Like this is one of the most viewed television shows in the country because people can't stop.
And then when they bit into the cupcake, she said, oh, I promise mine tastes better.
I can't even say it. I was like, I didn't know if you were going to go there or not, but you did.
I had to. I was laughing so hard.
But at the end of the day, a great Monday night for entertainment, obviously with the national championship, with Clemson beating Alabama and then the shit show of The Bachelor. It's great.
Love.
And obviously NFL games are going on Friday's show. We'll break down all those games this weekend. That Packers Cowboys game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
cannot wait.
As a Cowboys fan, you know, obviously I'm extremely nervous because Aaron Rodgers
is on fire.
That
now.
Hail Mary that he threw in the game last weekend, right before halftime, was incredible. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, it's lucky. I'm like, this is Aaron Rodgers. They're like, yeah, obviously there's going to be an element of luck when you throw a Hail Mary.
But it's Aaron Rodgers. He looks like himself again. He's playing so, so well right now.
And that's scary if you're Dallas, right?
Very.
I mean, that's very scary. So we'll break down all of those games this weekend on Friday. But on Get Weird Wednesday, we figured why not talk a little bit of a Bachelor, some boob cupcakes, and of course, Deshaun Watson should have been the Heisman Trophy winner.
I love it.
And of course, before the show, there was some breaking news in the NFL.
Yep. My Broncos, they signed defensive coordinator Vance Joseph of the Miami Dolphins on a 4-year deal. So
he'll be the head coach.
He'll be the head coach over there at the Broncos. And I'm hoping they get Deshaun Watson in that draft.
Hey, you know what? They need a quarterback.
They need him.
Think about this. Like, so we talked about Sam Darnold and how good he is. And we had Sean Salisbury on the show last week. Obviously, he played in the NFL played college, and he said that he does believe that if Sam Darnold was able to go into the draft, which obviously he can't because he's a freshman,
he'd be a first round
but
pick,
he would be maybe one of the top quarterbacks taken. But now you look at what Deshaun Watson has done, and I mean, I don't think there's a question that all of these teams that need quarterbacks in the NFL, outside of whatever the hell is going to happen with Tony Romo, you look at how many people need this quarterback. And is he going to be a Vince Young type? Because that's what he looks like to me, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he really kind of, he has that Vince Young thing about him in college. You know, the big games, Vince Young in the Rose Bowl, never won the Heisman, you know, those types of things. But what is he going to look like in the NFL? And what we've seen in the last couple of seasons and how he's really played is that he can adapt. And if they're not playing well, he always steps up when he needs to. Mm-hmm. But you just never know how people are going to translate. But if I'm an NFL team right now, I'm thinking Deshaun Watson, like that's who I'm going to go after. Mm-hmm. And if the Broncos get him, and you've got, you know, they obviously don't have Gary Kubiak anymore because of his health reasons, but you've got the defense that the Broncos have. Oh, yeah. And then now you've got a defensive coordinator.
They just need to figure out that quarterback situation.
Right. As a head coach. So, you know, defense is going to be fine. They've just got to get a quarterback in. And people are really excited about Vance Joseph taking this role. Because it's what can the Broncos do next season, and they think he's the guy to do it, obviously, or they wouldn't have hired him. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, I know. If I'm an NFL franchise, I'm for sure looking at Watson, and not just because of how athletic and talented he is, but I love how mentally, physically, he has all of those traits that you need, and he's just shown so much heart and the ability to carry these teams, these championships. And if I'm an NFL franchise, I'm looking at him for sure.
Right, and you never know if they're going to translate for good or bad. I mean, look at Tom Brady. Look how, I mean, he was like 199th pick, you know, and he's arguably the best quarterback of all time. You can make that. And obviously Aaron Rodgers is in that conversation too.
Look at Dak and his storyline.
Yeah. So you look at how that works. And then you also look at the guys that were so good in college that never translate. Obviously hits home with Johnny Manziel, or you look at guys like Tim Tebow, who was really good and just never panned out. Mm-hmm. But you do look at Deshaun Watson right now and say, okay, this seems like a guy that'll pan out
commodity.
Because of all of his skill set. He's not just a running quarterback. He can throw, he can play pro style, and Clemson was able to put him in really good situations. He just has to protect the ball.
Yep.
And when you've got an
offensive
line. He's
been a little interception prone, but if he can clean that up. Yeah,
he had 17 this season. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think people are probably really excited about him, and congratulations to him and to Clemson for what they were able to do. And what I'm really excited to see what he can do in the next.
I'm excited. I'm hoping those Broncos get him and they figure out that QB situation.
Well, on Friday, we'll be breaking down those NFL games. So we'll be back at 3:00 Eastern. Again, thank you so much to SB Nation Radio nationally every week. GridironNow.com, and then the added social media bonus. So if you do like to look at us, which today I don't know, today's a little bit crazy for me, but Periscope,
little ratch.
Hit us up on Periscope, Twitter, or Facebook. We'd love to hear from you guys. KAYCE Smith, Casey Smith TV on Facebook. Annie Koontz, thank you so much.
Thanks for hanging out with us on this weird, wild Wednesday.
Weird Wednesday. There was a lot of petty things. Our shade of the day is every Alabama fan that just crumbled. Just absolutely crumbled. So we are very sorry to all of those people. But congratulations to Clemson, The Bachelor. We'll see how that unfolds. I'm going to win that fantasy league. We'll be back at 3:00, guys, at 3, or Friday, 3:00 Eastern. Hang out with us. We're going to talk a lot of NFL.
Can't wait.
We'll be breaking down all of those games. Like, that college football's over. What else are we going to talk about?
I know.
Stay friendly, guys. Life's too short to be angry. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you guys on Friday.